Get ready to expand your horizons and discover great reads. This is Bookbound, a library podcast. I'm Jessica Trotter. I'm joined as Mike by Mari Garza and Cheryl Lindemann. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
So the picks in this podcast give a nod to Black History Month, but we also talk nonfiction and ALA awards. I think I'm going to get started with our first pick for today, and that's Kin, Rooted in Hope by Carol Boston Weatherford, with art by her son, Jeffrey Boston Weatherford. This caught my eye long before it actually was named Credit Scott King Honor Book this year in the author category. It's been sitting on my TBR longer than I care to admit. I've checked it out multiple times now. But this is really moving. It's a children's nonfiction book. It's really moving poetry. One thing described it as a novel in verse, but it's really not. It really is poetry based on genealogy of Weatherford's enslaved ancestors, and to some degree, the actual research that she and Jeffrey did in looking into those family members. It was inspired by, I think, either her editor or agent kind of throwing out the idea of a collection inspired by Edgar Lee Masters' Spoon River anthology. It's really is sort of a look at her ancestral community at Miles River Neck on Maryland's Eastern Shore. And the interesting thing about this is wonderful all in and of itself. It's a collection of poetry. The artwork is really neat, sort of white on black, really moving. It's heart-wrenching stories that are included. Sometimes it's the enslaved family member that's talking. Sometimes it's the enslavers or people. There are stories about Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass, because their family has kind of crossed paths with those figures. But sometimes it's the old plantation talking, or the house that these families grew up in. And this is sort of, it's sitting with me maybe differently because I'm in the middle of, and I might talk more about it later, but I'm in the middle of The Life and Times of Hannah Crafts by Greg H. Hekimovich. And it's been noted from last year as well. It's a really interesting listen. It's also really wrenching. And it's a story of trying to track down the formerly enslaved author of a very, very early novel, biographical novel of slavery. Weatherford's book is just a wonderful companion. It's children's age, teen children's reading level. And I just think it's just one to kind of look out for. It was really neat.
Oh, sounds so good.
Sounds really good.
We have this almost like an alchemy, or sort of like a behind-the-scenes magic that you may not know about with our podcasts from our series before and our new podcast, where we'll come together and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about for the podcast. We do our independent reading, and then we come together and we realize that there's this theme, or books go together.
Yes,
like
very
books
much.
Go right together, right? Yeah, and we really have felt that with this podcast, with these first three books that we're going to talk, that we are talking about. And that brings me to another book that at its heart is about so many things, but about the power of an ancestral line, and not just in one family, but a big sort of sea of ancestors that are supporting and active in the present lives of people. And the book is, that I'm going to talk about with this theme is To Free the Captives, a plea for the American Soul, by Tracy K. Smith. And I've talked about Tracy K. Smith before with her memoir, Ordinary Light, which was just a beautiful memoir about her coming of age and about her mother in particular in that memoir. And this book is a bit memoir, but it's also a bit genealogy, travelogue, extremely philosophical, meditative, reflective. And because she is a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, it's lyrical and exquisitely beautiful to read, but it's also sort of rooted in pain. And the genesis of the book is sort of was a reflection after the summer of 2020 on the Black American experience, on on pain, on where our country has come from and where we're going. And this book, through these pieces of genealogy, lineage, ancestry, personal memoir and reflection, spirituality, which for Tracy K. Smith is sort of a developing process of spirituality, mm-hmm. different than the spirituality she inherited, but in honor and reflective of it to some degree. But through all these pieces, she comes to try to answer these questions about what does it mean to be free, and what does it mean to be the freed, and the difference between those two and the reckoning with those concepts. And it's also a call to action to everybody in America moving forward, that, you know, how do we move forward as a society in civilization and all work towards the freedom of everybody. So there's mm-hmm. a lot in this book. It's not easy to do a summary of, but it's rich, it's powerful, it's beautiful, and I encourage everybody to read it.
Sounds like one of those books that if you've got a book discussion that's into meaty topics.
Yes, absolutely. And it reminded me similarly of South to America by Imani Perry, the National Book Award winner from last year that I know Jessica and I both read and loved last year. It's intertwining, it's rich. And one piece I didn't mention is that her ancestors come to her, and she has the presence of her mother mm-hmm. and her father. Her mother comes to her like, you should buy that car, you need a new car, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. But her father comes to her often with in her mind, asking her to stop and look at birds, which I thought was really
that's
beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, and that comes through. So there's a lot of that in the book as well.
Neat, very neat. So I have a young adult nonfiction title. It's called Nearer My Freedom, The Interesting Life of Aldo Aguiano by himself. And this is actually a work that's been redone by Monica Ettinger and Leslie Yauch. We know that millions of Africans were enslaved through the slave trade, and also that there aren't that many memoirs or autobiographies mm-hmm. of enslaved persons who, you know, give an account of what their life was like. Some people might think, you know, well, it's because there, you know, was no literacy at that time. And I think that there are probably a lot more that have been lost to history than we would imagine. So the interesting narrative of the life of Aldo Aguiano is a biography that was first published in 1789. And in this book, he recounts, you know, what it was like to be kidnapped from West Africa, how he was separated from his sister, how he was briefly reunited with his sister, and then yet again yanked away from the little family he had left, his sister. He ended up in Virginia. He came to be with British, sailors. He ended up buying his freedom and settled in Britain. This book is a bit like where, you know, the authors, Ettinger and Young, they take his original book from 1789 and they pull so much of it out and put it into like a verse novel in some ways. Not exactly verse, but they take bits and pieces to help the reader understand, to give that historical context to what was going on. But what I really liked is that they inserted a lot of blocks of text that expanded on this is what was going on at the time. You know, the shipping industry was a huge thing in that time period. I mean, he went through so many different things. And after he bought his freedom, he was very involved in the abolition movement and presented many times to Parliament in England and just really advocating for the freedom that all human beings are entitled to, we have the freedom. And I just really thought this was a really interesting book because of the timelines and the nonfiction portions that the authors added. A really great read for young adult readers to have discussions about. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. There's a little bit of illustration in it, not a whole lot, but, you know, including an image of Aldo, illustrations of ships. There's an interesting section of his spiritual formation and how, you know, he persuaded other Christians after he became a Christian to also go after the abolitionist movement.
Well, I'm going to take a really brief break from actually talking titles for a moment just to talk about nonfiction in general. And as the nonfiction selector, by the way, this is Cheryl, I was really excited about a question that was asked of our Facebook page followers last month. And the question was, what is your favorite nonfiction topic to read? And it was so interesting and fun to see the range and variety of responses. And I sort of sat and tallied them up a little bit just to get a sense of, you know, what was most popular. Not to say that those are the most important, because they certainly are not. All nonfiction is very valuable and wonderful. But the subject area with the most responses was history and a variety of topics under that umbrella. But it was closely followed by memoir or autobiography. And then after that were biographies, books about a variety of science-related topics. I sort of bundled them under that umbrella. Hobbies and crafts, cookbooks, and gardening books. It was really fun, and I encourage you to even take a look at that post and see.
So what are the areas you dive for?
I love memoir, but science and nature is probably at my heart. Poetry, I truly love it all. History, and I go down little rabbit holes.
Yes,
I'm like
yes.
obsessed with you know, certain types of history.
How about you, Maddie?
I'm definitely into self-help, finance books, and poetry.
Okay, cool. All right.
Personal finance, actually.
Yeah. I think I've talked about it. I really like memoir and genealogy, but I also am always kind of on the lookout of whatever you're adding in embroidery.
Yeah.
and cookbooks.
Yeah, cookbooks.
I mean, you can't not say cookbooks.
Take them home all the time. Don't always get around to actually cooking.
How many do you
them?
Actually cook from the cookbooks?
Well, that's the other thing. It was like cookbooks that are like coffee table books.
Yeah, absolutely. And gardening books. I'm
that
ready.
Also like
begin.
Coffee table books.
It's just fun.
Yes.
And inspiring.
Yes. Yep. And yeah, nature writing too. It's just, it's a thing.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Back to our picks for this pod. I am really, 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 can you tell I'm excited? I'm really excited for Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange. Way back in 2020, we were supposed to have Tommy Orange for our Cattle Reads, and life and pandemic happened, and that didn't happen. But his debut novel, There, There, was just
amazing.
Phenomenal. It was a phenomenal book, and Wandering Stars actually deals with same family. It's a little bit more, it's a broader range of coverage. It's a family saga. It's looking at the line, if you read there, it's looking at the line of Lonnie Luther and Orville Redfeather. Goes back a number of generations. So it actually starts with the Sand Creek Massacre. It talks about the Carlisle schools, and then it comes forward through the, through each generation, and up through the events that end there. It's heartbreaking, but it's so beautifully written, and there's some hope in there. And I think anybody who loved there, you really have to go. Just run, don't walk, for Wandering Star. It's actually comes out at the very end of February, but it's holdable now. And even if you haven't read there, if you are a fan of Jessamyn Ward, Yagyasi or Luis Erdrich, everybody take note, go grab this, because he's just a phenomenal writer. And it is a blend, sort of like the Tracy K. Smith book. It is that blend of it's history, it's really wonderful literary fiction, but it's also has that touch of magic realism in it as well. It's not overwhelming, but it's just, it's there too. I mean, the ancestors are with them, and it's just a very lovely story that I hope everybody picks up, because I just think he's a wonderful writer.
Sounds amazing. Wow. Sold.
So yeah, go read that.
Definitely. Well, it's the time to gush about books. I think we've reached that part of their time here, because I could not wait to get this book in my hands, and I just got it this week. It's called This Is the Honey, an anthology of contemporary Black poets, edited by Kwame Alexander. And we've talked about Kwame Alexander from various angles many times on this podcast, author of 39 books, and besides everything else that he does, including being a poet himself. And this is a collection that is includes over 100 living Black poets. And these range, there's so many authors featured, but I just want to just mention a few, and I'm not trying to exclude any because it's hard to make a list, you know, but Nikki Giovanni, Rita Dove, Tracy K. Smith, who I talked about earlier, Jericho Brown, Kevin Young, Mahogany Brown, Amanda Gorman, Terrence Hayes, Evie Shockley, Natasha Trethewey, Ross Gay, Kevin Powell, Elizabeth Alexander, J. Drew Lanham, just to name a few. And the collection is organized into six categories or subject, kind of loose subject areas. And in the introduction of the book, Kwame Alexander says that these poems live in the space between woe and wonder. And yeah. They do. They really do. And they're arranged in six categories that are a little bit longer, but I've sort of summarized them as joy, love, place or heritage, spirit, rage, and praise. And it's just a beautiful collection. I have it bookmarked like crazy already, just going through these. It's just beautiful. So check it out.
Lovely.
Okay. So my next title is Shark Teeth by Sherry Winston. I love, love, love Sherry Winston. I think we've had her here at Cattle a couple times. She writes a lot of juvenile chapter books, middle grade books. Her characters are African American, and often the setting is in the South somewhere. So Shark Teeth is about Sharkita Lloyd. She is a seventh grader. She's got a little sister, Lily, who is dreaming about her birthday party on Shokotopia. She wants to be a mermaid. Lamar is a child who maybe is on the spectrum. We're not really sure. But she is kind of like the caretaker of her siblings. And that would be because her mother, who was a young mom, has, I'll just say, some issues of some kind. She is kind of bemoaning the fact that she's not able to go out and party like she used to. She's a single mom. She doesn't have very many people to help her raise her children. But she makes a lot of bad decisions related to her kids. And the kids have been in foster care before, and the way the book is panning out, this happens again. And this is something that Sharkita doesn't want to happen because she knows that this means a separation of her siblings. It is very true. It's a real life that a lot of foster families cannot take in, three or four children at a time. So that's why they're often separated. But this book really is more about just the aftermath or the mental health aspects that Kita faces. There's a lot of description, almost too repetitive in my view, but I at the end of the book I realize why. It's because when you have anxiety and it's constantly circling, she has this, there's this image of a shark constantly, roaming around in her stomach or in her mind, feeling like she's going to get eaten, like she's going to get swallowed, because she cannot handle that stress of being the caretaker of her, her siblings. And the other thing that Kita has is she has, I'm afraid I've forgotten what the condition is, but she's got this kind of like a double row of teeth in some ways, her upper teeth. And anyway, this title really stood out to me because I think children deserve to have a childhood. They deserve to be cared and loved.
Right.
And even if you're the oldest, you also deserve to have someone looking out for you, someone who's willing to let you go out and have fun with your friends, to be part of the dance team or the majorettes, which is what Kita gets involved with. She has a lot of people who do care about her in her outside circle, a principal, an assistant principal, a therapist, a social worker, and I just really love this book. I have to give a shout out, though, to Dosabana Kita. I actually listened to the book, and she was the reader or the narrator. Amazing. This Kita is definitely going to be a kid who stands out for me for a long time. So I hope you'll check it out. Break these toxic cycles, I say. Mm-hmm. Let kids be kids.
Yeah.
So, since our last podcast, the American Library Association announced the 2024 Youth Media Awards. Vashti Harrison won the Caldecott Medal for her picture book, Big.
Love that book.
This book features a little girl who stands very strong and proud when she is faced with bias. And I want to say that Vashti entered my radar back in 2017. With her title, Little Leaders, Bold Women in Black History. I highly recommend this title. And then I also want to mention that Dave Eggers won the Newbery Medal for The Eyes and the Impossible. This is a chapter book full of animal characters who are living their best life. They are just so happy. They have so much joy. And there's really a big sense of community in this book, but definitely other important issues to consider. So I want to say, check out these titles from any Cattle Branch very soon.
At that same conference, the Andrew Carnegie Medals for Excellence in Fiction and Nonfiction were announced as well. The fiction winner was The Berry Pickers by Woo-hoo! Amanda Peters, which I talked about on a previous pod. And the nonfiction winner was We Were Once a Family, A Story of Love, Death, and Child Removal in America by Roxana Asgharian. Again, those are available in the Cattle Collection, and we'll put a note to, there were a lot of awards announced at ALA's winter meeting, LibLibex, and so we'll do a link to the other lists as well in the podcast notes.
All right.
All right. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.